This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
I am so thankful that you are here today. I really am, because we have an amazing story, an amazing two guests with me today. And I heard this story at a meeting I was at, and I just wanted you to hear the story. And I'm sure I'm going to get more depth during the show than I got, because I just got like an overview story. And being together with you today is going to be a great thing, because we're going to all hear this story together. And the story, the whole motivation for telling this story and this motivation of talking about the book that they wrote is to give hope. You know, a lot of us feel hopeless, and this story and God's redeeming power and his healing hands are amazing. And it gives us hope for those that are still going through trials and tribulations. And you know, we're in this together. So I'm going to give you a little bio. And Nancy is in the studio today. Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
And I'm just going to say a little bit about you. Is that all right?
Sure.
Okay. Nancy Conant has an abiding, deep relationship with Jesus. She is a world-renowned, award-winning portrait artist of wildlife, pets, and people. Her works are available for viewing on her website at Nancy Conant, just like it sounds, conant.com. In 2004, Nancy was diagnosed with MS and has a healing journey with God that is a unique story, very hard, but very beautiful. Nancy currently lives in Dallas, Texas, with her husband and co-author, Chris Conant, who is the president of More Cabbage, a social media and branding firm. Nancy joins me in the studio, and Chris joins us by phone. Hi, Chris.
Hey there. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. And how are you doing?
Things are well.
That's great. So, Nancy, let's just get right into it. Is that okay with you?
Absolutely.
Okay. Could you tell us what life has been like living with MS?
Well, before MS, life was like most people in L.A., very full, very busy. But it came to a screeching halt when I began to lose my peripheral vision. And I went in to see my primary care physician, and I told him, "You are my pit crew. I'm your race car. Get me on the track. I got things to do." And he looked at me and with a solemn look on his face and said, "Not with this one. I don't think so. I need you to go see a neurologist." And after lengthy, painful tests, a battery of tests, they diagnosed me with multiple sclerosis. For a couple months, my vision had diminished to almost completely blind. Balance issues, of course, losing the ability to walk, just all the normal faculties that we take for granted every day were slipping away from me, one by one. And with MS, understandably, comes a heavy, heavy depression.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to become overcome by depression.
So do we understand this disease? Do we understand what causes it? Or is there answers for this disease?
There are none, which means there is no cure. It's a progressive illness. It only goes downhill. It doesn't get better. Nowadays, they do have what's called disease-modifying drugs available. And in the beginning, we went to all lengths to take anything that was available for us. And really what that does is it slows the progression of the illness down, but there is no cure
for MS. So it deals with the symptoms.
It deals with the symptoms. That's right. and hopefully causes the flare-ups, or called exacerbations, to not happen. Mm-hmm. But in my case, I didn't tolerate these medications well, and so I was still having flare-ups. And when you have an exacerbation, the symptom that it manifests can become permanent. As some of the loss of walking, I walk with a pretty heavy limp. That's something that has become permanent, mm-hmm. from an old exacerbation. Thankfully, my vision was not a permanent loss. I'm so thankful for that, being an artist.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You are listening to The Sue Freeze Show, and I have on the show today Nancy and Chris Conant, and we're talking about the journey of multiple sclerosis and the journey that Nancy chose and the family had to go through. So what happened on Easter 2009, Chris?
That is really an impactful day, and, you know, to tell that story, I need to back up just a couple months at least.
Okay.
What had transpired over Nancy, you know, having MS really resulted in life changes. And it started with her having to let go of just sort of being involved with our company. And she ended up kind of really removing herself from that and spending a lot of time at home. And I think in that process, it really started to set up a scenario where she was becoming more isolated from people and just from accountability. And when you have the depression and you're kind of living with it, it makes it, you know, very difficult. At the time, I tried to encourage her to, you know, maybe do something, and she started taking an art class, you know, here and there, and that was good, and it seemed positive. I was just really trying to help her by setting up a healing environment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of part of the story is we ended up taking a cruise because we thought, okay, this is something that we can all do together, and this was actually the fall, or maybe it was the summer prior to Easter 2009. It was supposed to be relaxing, but this was a time when we're in transition with this disease, and we didn't have a wheelchair on the ship with us. Nancy ended up having to stand in line for a very long time with a suitcase in tow, because I already had three suitcases plus our kids and stuff, and it just set off another exacerbation while we were on that cruise. And so coming back from that, everything just started really collapsing, I noticed. Depression that I'd seen before reached a new low.
Mm.
Her isolation and accountability was really getting weaker and weaker. And I could tell things like her cognition were starting to fail. And then came a surgery she had to have, resulted in her going into another exacerbation because the anesthesiologist who intubated her pulled her neck too far back and caused lockjaw.
Mm.
And so it's just one thing after the next, compounding and compounding, and it just got to this point where Nancy, I think, just really started believing the lies of the enemy, in this case, who is Satan, who's described in the Bible as the father of lies. And Nancy started believing this one lie that would really sit deep with her, and that was that she had become a burden to the family. She would bring this up to me, and I would say, no, 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 you're not a burden to us. You know, we love you, and it's important. But she, this burden idea that she had that, again, I think was really planted in there by Satan, just made her think it would be better off to, you know, leave this world. And the option of, you know, being in heaven looked more attractive than being here on earth. So this was our scenario. This is our life, just prior to Easter 2009. On that day, it turned out that we woke up Easter morning and we weren't in a great place spiritually. We ended up having a fight that morning right before church, an argument really, and it was a little nonsensical looking back now, but nonetheless, that's what happened to us. And it culminated with us yelling at each other, saying, I said, Nancy, why don't you just take the kids and go to church? And she said, no, you take them to church. And I said, fine. And I left, and, you know, I took the girls with me. And Nancy set out on a mission. She decided at that point that she was going to play out something that she had been teasing in her mind for quite some time. And I'll get back to that in just a minute. But if I may continue,
mm-hmm.
we ended up returning from church that day, and my parents were due to come over, and I arrived at home and got some preparations ready for my family coming over. And I went and looked, and Nancy was nowhere to be found. She wasn't at home, and the car was gone. And normally that happens, you know, maybe after a fight, she just needs some time to cool down. I get it. Usually she would leave a note. There was no note. So I made a call on her cell and tried to find her, and she wasn't available. I left a message. My parents ended up coming, had dinner. It's very nice. And during that time, I left another message or two for her. After my parents left, I remember just kind of wondering where she might be, a little bit aggravated that she didn't let me know where she was, leaving me in a little bit of an uncomfortable place and also concerned for her all at the same time. And I left another message with a threat, and I said, look, Nancy, I need to know where you're at. You need to call me back, or else I'll call the police and have them start looking for you. And a couple hours later, about 10 o'clock, I did that. After not hearing back from Nancy, I decided to call the police and ask about what I need to do to get her found. And that earned me a visit from an officer at our house. He showed up about probably midnight or 12:30 in the morning. By now, my fear is starting to take over. I'm feeling very worried, concerned. I had no idea what had happened to Nancy. I didn't know if she drove off the road and into a lake, or if she was somewhere safe, and I was afraid. And the officer came in and started taking some information down, and he said, you need to check some hospitals. You need to go online and look around. And he suggested that I check the morgue. Here I am, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm looking online at the county morgue, and they have regular updates of people who are coming in. At the time, I did not see Nancy on the list, so I ultimately just really shot out a prayer, and I was like, God, sustain her, help someone find her, keep her alive, those kinds of prayers. And it was a very clear prayer to God, and it was one that I made right before I crashed in the bed. I ended up having a dream that night. It was really impactful. I get dreams from God, but not super often, maybe once a year or something, and so this one happened that night, and I pictured this stage, and there was kind of like a fog across, and here's Jesus kneeling down, and he's wrapping presents, gifts, like Christmas kind of thing. And he's wrapping these presents, and Nancy comes in kind of stage left, and she takes Jesus by surprise, who stands up and walks over to her, kind of like a, what are you doing here kind of thing, or you're not supposed to be seeing this. He's very gentle with her. He's not mad. He grabs her shoulder and turns her around and walks her in the other direction. And I can see by Jesus' hand gestures moving left and then back right again that he seems to be offering her a choice or a decision. And I see her look up at Jesus and nod, and he grins and she grins. And suddenly I'm awakened by a phone call. At like 7:15 in the morning, there's all this commotion in the background. My first words out of my mouth are, who is this? You know, who's on the phone? Because I didn't know if it was Nancy, if it was the police or paramedics or where she was. As a matter of fact, it was the paramedics. And they said, Mr. Conant. And I said, yes. They said, we found your wife, Nancy. And I said, where is she? And they said, well, we're at the hotel, but we're taking her to the MCA hospital. And she's been found. We can't believe she's alive. And I said, what? What? And they go, well, apparently she's taken many, many pills, at least three bottles, and we see others. And I was just overwhelmed by that. And I thought coldly that she did it. She did it. And then I snapped back to the fact that she was alive and that she was being taken to this hospital, and they asked me to meet them there.
You are listening to The Sue Freeze Show, and I have on the show today Nancy and Chris Conant, and we're talking about the journey of multiple sclerosis and the journey that Nancy chose and the family had to go through.
I went pretty much straight to the hospital after that. It's early in the morning, on Monday morning after Easter, and I get there, and a doctor approaches a nurse and has the nurse come out and talk to me about what's going on, and they said that there's an absolute miracle happening here. They said, your wife has taken a lot of pills, blended them up into a smoothie and drank it, And they had been told, I guess, by the paramedics who were there, that there were all these 9 bottles of pills that had been fulfilled as a prescription, and 90 of them were Xanax. And she said, that alone is enough to kill you and me and that big guy sitting over there. And my head just sank into my hands, you know, thinking about why she would try to do this, and yet at the same time knowing that she's just been in such pain and missing Jesus, you know, missing him. It was at that time when they said, we have, you know, news for you, and that is that she is reviving, and all this without any serious medical intervention, I'm coming to understand, as they tell me at the hospital, that she's really only needing an IV, not her stomach pumped or anything like that. And they said her body is coming back, you know, really quickly. And her mind was still kind of stuck in that, I'm supposed to be in heaven right now. So she was a little belligerent, you know, with the team that was there, because she wasn't sure exactly, like, wait, is this part of, you know, my death experience, and what? And yet so her mind's like coming back during this time too. It was just all surreal. And them telling us that this is an absolute miracle. And what I saw from that point is that Nancy took off like a rocket. Her healing was so swift, and she'll have to tell you more about what happened after that.
You are listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And if you're just tuning in right now, don't worry, it's okay. You're probably thinking, what did I miss? And you didn't miss, because you can go to SueFreeze, spelled like fries, one word, .com, and you can listen to the podcast. You can share this podcast and 3 years of podcasts. So be sure and remember, SueFreeze, spelled like fries, one word, .com, and you can get this story and other stories. And this story is about giving you hope, because no matter where you are in life, God's right there to meet you and to walk you through it. And so, Nancy, you hearing that story, what was going on with you?
Well, as Chris said, that Easter Sunday morning, I went on automatic pilot. I was on a mission to go and be with Jesus. So when I awoke in the hospital, I didn't want them to be treating me or anything. I was asking people if they were angels. I just couldn't believe that I was still alive. What I had done was foolproof. And so it was absolutely shocking to me that I was still here. However, as Chris said, I seemed to clear this out of my system. They found me 12 hours after the fact. And I seemed to clear this out of my system in the most amazing and miraculous way. There really is no medical explanation for it. And the following day, while I was in ICU on suicide watch, a nurse came and he said to me, you're going to need to transfer to a psychiatric facility. This is mandatory following your actions. This is a mandatory thing. And so he said, you're going to need to go in a squad car. You're in custody. And so at the same time, a couple of police officers entered into the room and had me put my hands behind my back and cuffed me. And this nurse, Travis, just kept whispering in my ear, this is your new start. This is your new beginning. Make the most of it, and then come back and tell me how it all went, because this is your new start. And he asked the officers to wait a moment, and he ran and he got a hospital gown, and he set the gown over my shoulders and covered my handcuffs behind my back. And I knew in that moment that the Lord was using this guy to cover my shame and to be there with me. And I felt like the Lord was saying to me in that moment, I will never leave you or nor forsake you. And I knew that Jesus was going to walk this path through with me. I didn't know what this path was going to hold. It was a big mess I created. But I knew Jesus was going to be with me.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's really incredible.
Yeah.
He was kind of like an angel.
Yeah.
That's what I pictured. Travis is an angel. Oh, Romans 2:4, it's his kindness that leads to repentance.
That's right.
Yeah. Chris, this would affect you and your daughters too. I was thinking about your daughters during this whole story. I was wondering what you were doing, if you were telling them, what was happening with them during all of this?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, Nancy and I have been careful through our walk together to, you know, not share everything with everybody all the time, but we are accountable on some levels, and I feel like we were doing the right thing at the time by just sharing it with a very small group of people. Our pastors at the time were very involved, and a couple prayer warriors that would be lifting us up when our hands got very weary. And so I will say that was our group that kind of knew what was going on. I just felt like, also with Nancy too, we both felt that our daughters were a bit young to hear what was going on. So they were a little bit used to Nancy being in the hospital from MS and exacerbations and things. So it was a bit par for the course for them when I said that your mom's in the hospital and she's going to be there for a little bit. And they would ask, you know, can we go see her? And I said, well, it was true. They wouldn't allow kids in the ICU at the time. So it kind of worked itself out, and God was graceful to allow us to just keep that story in our hearts until it was time to share it. And now 4 years later is that time, and up until very recently, the girls didn't know until we sat down and told them what was going on.
We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. Looking for God's love in the midst of death? The book Resurrection Monday is the true story of a death-to-life experience. It's the real-life story of Nancy and Chris Conant and how they triumphed over death. It begins with Nancy's diagnosis of multiple sclerosis. At the same time Nancy sees her health deteriorating, Chris receives a dream followed by unexplained events that help prepare him for the ultimate battle over his wife's life. Nancy eventually decides her life crash is too much to bear, so she deliberately ends her life. However, the doctors are stunned after God sends her back, alive, with purpose, and a prolific gift in art that could only be found in Christ. Resurrection Monday is the book you won't put down. It gives hope to those suffering from disease, broken relationships, and abuse. It offers inspiration through the transforming power of God's love, that not even death can hold back the plans He has for us. Get your copy of Resurrection Monday on sale now at Amazon.com. That's Amazon.com.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun, that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat, using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS. You're listening to The Sue Free Show.
Thank you so much, Ecola, for sponsoring this show. So, Chris, you know, there's a lot of pressures in marriage, just an everyday marriage. These things that you're talking about are... Just tell us a little bit about how this must have affected your marriage.
It really did. It was overwhelming. I definitely was going through a lot of thoughts, mad, sad, and actually glad for the miracles, too. But one of the things I really had to deal with was forgiveness. I know it sounds preposterous, but the fact that Nancy would leave this world without talking to me. One would understand that, you know, if you're married, it's like you're one. I wouldn't want those decisions to be made without me because we're together on this. And so I had to deal with that. Forgiveness. And one moment I remember was just before I went into her room, God sat me down, and I just went, you know, Lord, this is really hard, and I feel upset, and I just felt like he was giving me a choice. You know, I could stay and camp there, but what he offered was better. It was an opportunity to be positive and encourage her and understand that this is not me. It was really an attack from the enemy, and God was clear. He spoke scripture to me. One that comes to mind is Matthew 6:15, you know, but if you do not forgive others of their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And what right did I have to be angry, you know? What right did I have? It was really a moment that I made a really important decision, and that was that I was going to stand by her through this no matter what. And that just put me in the right frame of mind. One other thing that I remember struggling with was just as a caregiver and seeing Nancy suffer through this for so many years was just, I have to keep going back to God for healing. And I just felt like God already knew what I was going to ask before I asked it. I know that there's a scripture about, you know, the judge and the woman just continuing to pound on his door until the judge would open it. What do you want? You know, he might say. And finally that door gets opened. And you know what? I know about that, but there's a difference between a couple dozen times praying a prayer and a couple thousand times praying a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You get really tired and weary doing that. And I just felt like God would already know what I was going to say before I say it. I felt ashamed that a non-believer would say, see, if God was real or if God was active in your life, you know, he would heal Nancy.
Hmm.
And in my heart, I wanted God to get credit for this healing. I want him to heal her, and I still believe it. And it was around that same time where God shared his agenda with me, and I found it in 1 Corinthians 9. And it was when Paul said, you know, to the weak I became as weak so that I might win the weak. I just thought about how much hope Nancy is going to bring to those who suffer from depression or who suffer from a long-term illness. And it became joy to me. You know, Nancy's walking or thinking, and her heart have been healed. And there's a couple parts that have not, but it totally qualifies her to minister out of that place of what God did. And that makes me so excited. It just brings me joy. I'm so drawn to Christ, too, because of her story. And she's got this spiritual clarity now, so that I can see that in her life, MS takes a back seat now. God takes the driver's seat. And I see her pursuing God. I see her reading scripture every day. I see her getting filled up with his words, words that bring joy to her. And because of that, and just because I love her, I'm totally willing to keep on praying for more healing.
You are listening to The Sue Freeze Show, and I have on the show today Nancy and Chris Conant, and we're talking about the journey of multiple sclerosis and the journey that Nancy chose and the family had to go through. That's so awesome. Nancy, what would you say to listeners who are struggling with depression, suicidal thoughts, or MS? What would you say to them?
Beyond the deepest, darkest valley that you could be in, there is light. There is hope. And I know what it feels like to be despondent and to really believe with all your being that there is no hope, but there is hope. I don't know why I got a second chance, but most people, when they commit suicide, don't get a second chance. It's final. And I just urge whoever is entertaining those thoughts that they reach out for help. Several things that I learned was that we cannot allow ourselves to make agreements with the devil. The devil may say, you are a burden. Nobody wants you. You'd be better off gone. But we can't agree with that. We need to know what the Lord says of us and how he feels about us so that we can put up the truth and tear down the lies. We can overcome evil, but we need to move in the opposite spirit of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we can't be conformed to this world, but we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that is something that Christ wants to do. And we cannot fall victim to the enemy. Chris mentioned that I really isolated myself from the church body. That's a big no-no. In Hebrews, it talks about not forsaking the gathering or the assembling of the saints. We need to stick together. We need to draw strength from one another. We need to pray for one another. And even though a lying spirit may tell you that nobody wants to pray for you and they're tired of hearing of your woes, that is the furthest thing from the truth. There are people who absolutely wanted to pray for me and absolutely wanted to be there for me and my family. I just shut them out. So I would just urge the listener who's struggling to not give up. That is not the answer.
That's very good advice, and I totally agree. It's so hard sometimes, too. You know, I mean, everybody experiences different levels of hopelessness or helplessness. But you know what? Just take one more step.
That's right. If you
one more step.
And if you off yourself, you don't get one more step.
Right.
There is no more.
And I think about your daughters.
I was thinking about on the way over here, I was thinking about, wow, a few weeks ago, my daughter just came down the staircase dressed for her prom.
Oh.
And she was just stunning. And I would have missed that.
You would have missed that.
I would have missed that. I would have missed all of the paintings that I've done since Resurrection
Monday.
Which
are amazing. I've seen just a few of them.
Thank you.
How is your marriage different today than previously?
I think that we share a deeper love and trust, and we really both press into God rather than pressing into one another to fight the storms. We really press into God, and then we meet each other in the middle.
Mm.
I think that's where it's different today for us. We're not trying to meet one another's needs. We're going to God to have our needs met.
That's really a good advice for any couple,
any couple.
Relationship.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because God says that you align yourself with Him first, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. You look up first and then look beside you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So true. And if we align ourselves correctly, then things come into an alignment.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
So your children, you've let them know.
Yes.
Of what happened.
Yes.
So that they can benefit from the miracle.
Yes.
Do they have any questions as to anything? I mean, I'm sure you have an open relationship now with telling, you know, what was going on.
Very much.
Right. So do they have questions like, Mom, you know?
You know, one daughter had a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
My younger one, she's kind of taking it in more silently.
Mm-hmm.
But my eldest daughter, believe it or not, she just kind of expressed that she had a deeper respect for me since all of this has happened, understanding the level of pain that I was in, and yet still that I am still here and that I'm still following after God hard.
Mm-hmm.
And you encouraged her, and she called her mom a hero.
Oh, love that. There's no better compliment, I think, than a child. You know, in the Bible it talks about your children will call you blessed, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, there's nothing better, is there?
Yeah. And they'll tell you the truth, too.
Yeah. That's true. You can believe it when they say it, right? Yeah. I loved what you said, too, Chris, about that fork in the road or that decision that you needed to make in order for things to happen, is that you needed to make a decision on, you could either be the victim, or you could say that, you know, how could she and how dare her, or you could say, you know what, I need to forgive, and in the measure in which I forgive, I will be forgiven, and same with judgment. So you made that decision before you walked into that hospital room, and it's a commitment that you've made sometimes, you know, the devil, you know, you think you fight him and he goes away, but sometimes he's just right there and he can reappear at times. So we have to keep that guard up.
That's right.
You know, because those little thoughts can come back in our minds. And when those thoughts come in, we have to rebuke those thoughts. And we need to think about what God says about us. And how are you going to know what those thoughts are? If you go to Helping Hands on Sue Free, spelt like fries, one word, .com. If you go there, there is scriptures that are I ams, and it's Christ mm-hmm. telling you who you are. There's three pages of them, and it's probably the most popular helping hand tool that I have on my website. People love this, and I understand why, because we need to know who Christ says we are.
That's right.
And if you have all those scriptures in a nice, tidy, little, easy place to read them on a daily or a weekly basis, it helps us renew our minds. And renew our minds with the positive and the truth.
The truth.
From
that's
God,
right. Right. That's right. Because the truth is going to set you
free. Amen.
You know, there was a sweet little song that we sang when I was a baby believer. And it was, I will change your name. You shall no longer be called wounded, outcast, lonely, or afraid. I will change your name. Your new name shall be confidence, joyfulness, overcoming one, faithfulness, friend of God, one who seeks my face. And I'm not called burden anymore. That's not his name for me. It never was.
Amen.
Yeah.
Love that. You're listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And we're talking to Nancy and Chris Conant about the journey that they've had and how God has miraculously brought them together and healed her and healed their marriage and healed, you know, I mean, their marriage wasn't broke, but it was broke because there was pain and suffering and all those things. And now they're stronger than ever because they're together and they're fighting this battle together as one. And it's a wonderful story. So, Nancy, tell us about your art.
It is a delight. I really believe that's one of the gifts that Chris witnessed, Jesus wrapping that day.
Oh, that story, yeah.
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 That is a gift that he's imparted to me, and it's a place for me to worship him. I worship him from that place of creating, and it is a delight.
So you were taking art classes because Chris was trying to get a positive yeah. world for you. So
yeah.
Whoever came up with the idea of taking art classes, you did do that. But before that, I mean, have you always liked art? Has it always been there?
It had. It had always been there, but I had never studied under anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so 7 years ago, I began to study under a master pastelist. And after Resurrection Monday, there just seemed to be a shift in my artwork. I am much more prolific than I was prior to Resurrection Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I paint much faster. I paint many more paintings. And it seems that I paint with more accuracy
mm-hmm.
than before.
It's very lifelike. I've seen some of your work. The horse is amazing. I saw that.
Thank you.
And my daughter is an artist. She went to Italy and studied abroad.
Wow.
And went to the Italian Academia for art. So I really have a respect and an admiration for that gift. It's
yeah.
it's an amazing gift. And it speaks in another language.
That's right.
Doesn't it?
It does.
Yes. It's really amazing. And the amazing part about that, too, is with MS, is it causes you to shake, right? I mean, there's a lot of shaking, and your eyesight, you said that all those things were, you know, impaired.
They were all impaired, all affected, and now I do not shake. My vision is good. The ability to paint is there. I think one of the symptoms with MS is extreme fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to slow it down a little bit. I can't go sit in my studio and paint for 8 hours, you know. Mm-hmm. I have to just, you know, do it in bite-sized pieces and take care of myself mm-hmm. that way. But, yeah, it's prolific. It really is. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a God thing.
That's so great. So moving along into now, you both wrote a book.
Yes.
And you had mentioned earlier that God had told you to write everything down.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
The book is called Resurrection Monday, which is interesting because it was right after Easter Sunday.
Yes.
Yeah. God's timing. The true story of a death to life experience, which you've explained. Where can our listeners go to get a copy?
Well, they can go to Nancy Conant's website, which is nancyconant.com, NancyConant.com, and they can find the book there. They can also go to Amazon, but if they go to nancyconant.com, the book order includes a mini poster of the painting that you were referencing called The Stallion.
Mm-hmm. It's an amazing, amazing piece of art. So we're winding up now, and I just feel like there's something more that needs to be said to the listeners out there. So, Chris, what would you like to tell the listeners out there that would give them hope? Because that's the goal.
Absolutely. I think here's your hope. Your hope is in God. He absolutely has a plan for your life. It includes healing. It includes a new identity, love. And as we seek Him with all of our hearts, His Holy Spirit will bring about truth and freedom, unlike anything you've experienced. I had this amazing opportunity to watch God reach out and grab Nancy. And it made me think that not even death could separate Nancy from God's plan for her.
Hmm.
And that is an encouragement. That is hope. That's the God who we serve. And I would just continue to encourage listeners with Jeremiah 29:11-13. You know, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me, and you'll go, and you'll pray to me, and I'll listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Even to this day,
mm-hmm.
Nancy and I spend mm-hmm. a lot of time in the Word, and we'll every day, like, we'll try to make sure that we're reading a chapter and then write a verse that we find on a card and just kind of carry it with us throughout the day. And it's just a reminder that we need to put God's Word in our heart and be defined by what He sees in us.
That's an exercise that each one of us can do, is when you get into the Word and you find a scripture that speaks to you personally, to write it on an index card. And that's part of that scripture that Nancy referenced about renewing of your mind, is that when you read these scriptures, you should speak them out loud, I learned, because your mind hears your voice more than anyone else's voice. So you should speak the verse out loud, and, you know, it takes a while for the memory to kick in, but then you can rely on those scriptures. They come back when you need them. You can rely on them, and they're there for you because you have them already embedded in your brain, in mm-hmm. your mind, and they get to your heart, don't they?
Yes, they do.
And they give you comfort, and they give you peace, and they give you hope when maybe you're feeling down.
Yeah, and strength for the weary.
Absolutely. So, Nancy, it's your turn. What would you like to tell the listeners? Something that we might have missed that would be part of the story that you would want to reveal?
I think I would like to pray.
I love that.
I think
we can never get enough
like
prayers or hugs.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Okay.
Father God, I just come before you and thank you that you are a God of second chances.
Mm-hmm.
I come before you and your throne of grace and just thank you that we have access to you, and that you love us, and that you care for us, and you care about the things that we are concerned about, and that you are a God of mercy, you are a God of miracles, you are a God of power, you are a God of love. And so I pray for my brothers and sisters that you would envelop them with your love and your hope, and that you would draw them into your courts, Lord God, and bring them to a place of intimacy with you. And there is life to be found there. And I thank you for that, Jesus. Amen.
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 So if you've just now tuned in, it's okay. Don't worry about it. You did miss a great show, but you know what? You really didn't miss it because we have the Sue Free, spelt like fries, one word, .com. It's a website you can go on, and then you go to podcasts, and you can click on podcast, and you have 3 years of radio shows, which is amazing. Time flies when you're having fun. But you can go on there and you can look things up by date, by guest, and by subject matter. There's also videos. There's all types of helpful tools and things there that you can enjoy and share. And also you can get connected with me, which I would love that. Get connected with me, email me something like what you'd like to hear about, or if you'd like to get on the radio and be a guest on the show. I have live shows sometimes too, so please connect with me. I would love to hear from you because, you know, I want to be here for you, and the Lord is definitely there for you. So please do that, and I just want to thank both of you for being on the show.
Thank you. It's been inspirational
for me to get to meet you in person, and I met Chris at a Convene meeting, and that's how this all began, which there is no such thing as coincidence, is there?
No, there's not. Thank you for having us.
All right. So till next week, make yourself a blessing to someone each and every day. Look for an opportunity to be of help and to serve. Until next week, God loves you. Bye-bye.
God, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and love.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. Ah, springtime. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS. No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.